Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Tech Guide Podcast, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's great, as usual, to have your company. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. And this week, we're going to talk about the new Apple iPhones. Not one, two new iPhones, the 5C and the 5S. We're going to share our thoughts on the features on board and the features they've left out. In the Tech Guide reviews, we give our verdict on the Plantronics Backbeat Go 2 wireless in-ear headphones and the new TCL Colorline televisions. In the Tech Guide interview, we'll chat with our sponsor Netgear's CEO Patrick Lowe, who was in Australia recently to share his thoughts on the growth of wireless, our mobile society, and the NBN with us. And we'll wrap it up, as we always do, with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A packed Tech Guide show, so let's get cracking. Well, the biggest news of the past week surely has to be the Apple media event last week, which revealed not one, but two brand new iPhones, the iPhone 5C and the iPhone 5S. This time around, the rumors were virtually spot on. There wasn't much that that they got wrong. I did a rumor roundup just before the announcement, and just about every feature that was alluded to in that story that was gathered from all those rumors was mentioned at some point or another during that announcement. The actual model names, the features, and some of the features that we expected weren't there, but nine times out of ten, I think we got it right this time around. Let's start with the iPhone 5S. This is the hero product, the new top of the line device, and outwardly it looks very much almost identical, in fact, to the iPhone 5. Difference this time around, though, is there is, apart from the new features, there's slightly a different look. The color offerings, for example, there's your black is now going to be called space gray. The white iPhone 5S is now going to be called silver. And there is a third color, a gold iPhone, the iPhone 5S, which is has the gold edge as well as the gold back panel and the gold highlights around the home button. Now, speaking of the home button, that's probably the biggest new feature, or what's more precisely what's beneath that new home button, and that is the Touch ID fingerprint sensor, which was one of those features that was called out in all of the rumors. I think anyone who was following Apple very closely would have seen that they purchased a product, they acquired a company, I should say, they acquired the company called Authentic, which is a fingerprint company they bought for more than $300 million. And obviously they've put that technology to work in the new Touch ID fingerprint reader. Now what that does, instead of you having to type a password, you can now just press your phone, your finger on the front of the phone on the home button, and it will unlock the phone. So rather than you having to remember your passcode, this is an easy way to do it. What that also allows to, the fingerprint sensor, you can now authorize purchases from the iTunes, the App Store, and the iBook Store. So that adds another level of security to the whole device. The biggest new feature also, which is going to be available not only for the new products, but anyone who owns an iPhone, is iOS 7. This is the brand new operating system that will be available from early Thursday morning our time. So that's Thursday, the early morning of the 19th of September, is when anyone who's got an iPhone 4 and above and an iPad 2 and later will be able to download this absolute revamp of the operating system. It is the biggest change to the iPhone software since the iPhone was first introduced more than 6 years ago. But just on the iPhone 5S, there's the other improvements on the device is the new camera. It has the same megapixel, so same resolution, 8 megapixel. But what it has done is it improved the sensor even further. So it's capturing bigger pixels, so allowing more detail. As we all know, more megapixels doesn't always necessarily mean a better image. More megapixels, sure, will give you a bigger file, but not necessarily a better image. The quality of that image is determined by that image sensor. Other new features include burst mode and slow-mo. So burst mode lets you capture about 10 frames a second, and slow-mo lets you capture video at 120 frames a second, and then allows you to slow down the different parts of your video so that you can have the proper motion and then the slow motion and then the return to the normal motion to add a bit of drama to your videos. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, these are features we've seen in other phones, especially the burst mode, and they're right. This is the first time it's appearing, though, in the iPhone. It goes on sale on Friday, and again, it's the same feature, same capacity, 16, 32, and 64 gig, though, but the biggest change is to the pricing. The iPhone 5S is actually more expensive than the iPhone 5, and I think the falling value of the Australian dollar against the greenback, against the US dollar, is largely responsible. And we're talking decent increases here. The bottom level used to be $799, is now $869. $999 is the 32 gig model. That's $100 more expensive than last year's iPhone 5. And at the top of the tree, at the top of the line, the 64 gig is $130 more expensive. So if you want the top of the line iPhone 5S, it will cost you $1,129. That's the iPhone 5S. We're going to move along now and talk about the iPhone 5C.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Again, the rumors were pretty much spot on with the introduction of a cheaper iPhone, an entry-level iPhone, if you like, and it was to be called the iPhone 5C. Well, those rumors as well were spot on, and this was a new, for the first time, actually, we should mention that this is the first time they've introduced two new iPhones at the same event. It's usually one iPhone and other products, but this time there's two new models of the iPhone. iPhone 5 has completely been replaced. There's the iPhone 5. There's the iPhone 5S, the iPhone 5C. Now, on the iPhone 5C, the big rumor, the big expectation we had with this product was that it was going to come in at a much more affordable price point. In other words, it's going to give some users, many customers actually, access to an iPhone, but at a much cheaper price. It's playing at a price point we expected, where Apple has never played before and has missed a lot of that market share and that market altogether. Other companies like Samsung, LG, HTC have products at these lower end price points and are reaping the benefits with additional market share. Samsung's a prime example of having phones at every price point. That's the reason why they've got more than 30% worldwide market share of the smartphone market. So Apple were missing out in this little area here. Now, the 5C was where we thought this new device was going to play. And basically, the iPhone 5C is just the iPhone 5 in a brand new jacket. Now, that jacket is made of polycarbonate plastic. Looks pretty high quality. I haven't actually got my hands on a device yet, but it's highly polished. Looks like it offers a bit of quality. It's very glossy, and same 4-inch screen as the 5S. So the screen size hasn't changed on either of the models. That same 4-inch Retina display is what we're seeing here. But it's available also in a few colors. There's 5 colors. There's white, pink, yellow, blue, and green. And the wallpapers also match that color scheme on the back of the device as well. But as I said, the 5C is basically the iPhone 5 replacement. just in a different, in a coloured polycarbonate plastic case. It's got the same A6 processor. The iPhone 5S has the A7, the new faster processor. 5S also has an M7 motion processor. But the 5C still has the A6 processor that was found in the previous model, and also has the same 8 megapixel camera resolution. Not the advanced, not the same sensor as on the 5S. There had to be some points of difference here. That was one of them. The 5C also does not have the Touch ID fingerprint sensor. Again, another point of difference. Otherwise, why would we want to opt for the higher end model if it was all in the 5C? Now, what they've also released to Apple is a series of cases to allow users to mix and match different colors. So the glossy 5C casing can be mixed and matched with the different colored, the six different color cases, which have holes in the back of the case to allow the color to show through. So there's many different color combinations that you can go for there if you buy a couple of cases and you've got a certain colored 5C iPhone. But the biggest surprise here was had to be the pricing, and the surprise here is how high the pricing was. Entry level 5C is $739. I wrote a piece in my rumor roundup that estimated that price, it was a guesstimate, and it was a very wrong guesstimate, that the phone would be placed around the $449-$500 mark. Well, how wrong we were. $739 for the 16 gig, $869 for the 32 gig, and there is no 64 gig iPhone 5C. So if you want a 64 gig capacity, again, another point of difference to move up to the iPhone 5S. 5C, the C obviously must stand for color. It doesn't stand for cheap. These prices are way higher than we expected. So Apple, I think, still offering a cheaper phone, and that is the iPhone 4S, which is still around. It's going to cost, I think, $529. So there is no iPhone cheaper than $500 in their portfolio. There are three models. The cheapest is $539. That low-end market is sadly going to be continue to go begging for Apple there. They're not going to be able to pick up that extra market share. The 5C, as with the 5S, will be on sale on Friday, September the 20th. I'm sure there will still be people lining up to purchase this product, as they always do for Apple products. It too will be running iOS 7, which is the brand new operating system that will be preloaded on the 5S as well. And if none of us choose to buy those new iPhones, if we already have an iPhone that we're maybe in the middle of a contract with, as I mentioned, we can also update to iOS 7 as well. We'll continue to talk about iPhone and the reaction, and as well as the features that we left in and left out.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide,
keeping you updated and educated.
Well, as you can imagine, the iPhone reaction was quite strong. There were a lot of people who were praising the new phones, but there was a larger number of people, I think, who were reacting with a little bit of indifference, and people that were just straight out criticizing Apple for the lack of innovation of the product. The reaction, I think, comes from the fact that we got what we expected. It didn't quite live up to the hype. I think that was probably the biggest criticism, was the fact that there were features that were left out as well. I think when you go through the feature set and compare it to other leading smartphones, let's talk about comparing it to the Galaxy S4, for example, the HTC One, the Xperia Z. What these smartphones had that the iPhone don't are larger screens. Apple has stuck with that 4-inch screen size. I think the main reason, and Apple will tell you, of course, that it's just easy to use with one hand and offers that convenience. But I think probably the biggest factor is that they wanted the apps to still work on the iPhone 5 as they did on the 5C and 5S as they did on the iPhone 5. I don't think you're going to see a larger screen iPhone probably till next year. And they'll work it out to be a screen size that will scale upwards, so that developers who create apps for the 4S, the 5, the 5S, 5C, it will still work and scale up to the larger screen size. But that's probably going to be next year's model. For this year, we're going to have to be happy with a 4-inch iPhone. But other features that we should talk about that were, I think, conspicuous by their absence, we can say, is 802.11ac. Now, this is the faster Wi-Fi standard that is already present on the Samsung Galaxy S4. It's on the HTC One. It's even on Apple's own MacBook Air and their time capsule routers. But missing from the 5C and the 5S. They've chosen to go with the normal added 211 ABC GNN and offer dual band Wi-Fi connectivity, but they've not included the 802.11 AC. Now, in my opinion, I think they're probably leaving this product for next year's model so that there is a path of progression, a definite improvement. Same goes for the larger screen. Another feature they've left out that I thought may have been included since the rumors of a fingerprint reader were so strong was NFC. NFC, as you know, is short for near field communication. And apart from it being easy to pair different audio products, and Apple with its Bluetooth on board, this could have been easily achieved. But it too was missing from both of the iPhones. With the fingerprint reader, I thought NFC would have been made a nice pairing to form even more secure mobile transactions. So mobile wallet transactions where people were a little concerned of security, pay and go, these just one-touch payments. Imagine adding your fingerprint to that transaction. It would add that ultimate security that no one else can fake except you having your finger right there to complete the transaction. Again, this may be a feature that we'll see on next year's iPhone, the iPhone 6 or whatever they're going to call it. They may even be working right now on forming deals with major companies and major financial institutions to bring in their own mobile transaction technology that's powered by the Touch ID and their own version of NFC. We won't know this till next year at the very earliest. The pricing, I think, was another surprise, another that drew some adverse reaction as well. And I think that the criticism, I think, that I heard around the blogs and just on Twitter and on social media was, has Apple done enough? Has Apple innovated enough with this product? That was another criticism where people are asking, well, what happened to this whiz-bang market-leading company, this market-leading technology? What's happened is that other companies have sort of brought Apple back to the field. But Apple's a company you should never underestimate. As we've seen in the past, there has been criticism for their previous iPhones and other products, but yet lines still go around the block on launch day. They've still got a very healthy market share, a very high profit margin too. They're very profitable because their products are generally a little bit more expensive in the smartphone market and in the tablets, and people are still flocking to buy them, hence the reason their profits are up. So that's our wrap of the iPhone for this week. Plans have been released already from Vodafone and Telstra. Optus have yet to be launched their plans and pricing. We're recording this on a Monday night, so Optus have yet to come to the party. They are likely to be announcing their plans closer to Friday's launch date. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't come out till Thursday even. Optus have got their new My Plans, which allow people to not pay excess data and excess call costs for their caps, but simply be bumped up an extra $5 or $10 to cover the overflow before returning to their normal cap the next month. I think that's going to play a really big part of their plans. Telstra has followed their usual Everyday Connect, small, medium, large, and extra large plans with, of course, payment on top of that for the handset. I think the most expensive plan on Telstra is $145, and that includes a $15 handset fee and that plan you get unlimited calls, unlimited texts, and 3 gig of data. Vodafone have also announced their red plans are going to be available with the iPhone 5S and the 5C. The most expensive Vodafone plan is actually $148, which is $3 more expensive than Telstra. But for your money, you do get infinite calls. So that's their unlimited, what they call unlimited. Unlimited text, that's infinite text, 5 gigabytes of data, which is 2 gig more than Telstra. And that's on top of their $100 plan. So you're paying an extra $48 for the monthly handset installment there. Whereas Telstra's base plan at that level is $130. So Vodafone may have a cheaper plan, but you're paying more for the handset per month. So that's why they're almost the same price there. That's the iPhone. Next week, we're going to have a chat about the actual device itself. We'll be reviewing that product. So you got to stay tuned for that. If you're listening to Tech Guide. The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? It's a question we've all asked. We've all experienced those annoying Wi-Fi dead spots. And these days, with the amount of mobile devices such as tablets and smartphones connecting to the home network, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless system, your wireless signal, and keep you connected around the home. They will work with your current wireless equipment, and a CD-less install makes it easy to set up on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual-band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and stay connected in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost-my-Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
And kicking off the Tech Guide reviews for this week is a new product from Plantronics, and that's the Backbeat Go 2. And as the name would suggest there, it is the follow-up to the Backbeat Go, which was introduced a year ago. Now, the Backbeat Go 2 is a Bluetooth in-ear pair of headphones without the cable. The only cable that is on the product is the cable that connects the left earbud to the right earbud. There is no cable connecting from the device to your device, from the headphones to the device. That connection is achieved using Bluetooth. Now, the product itself has a small rechargeable battery on board, also the Bluetooth radio, but it's also got all the audio built in too. So those little tiny speakers that provide that sound are all built into these in-ear buds that aren't much bigger than a regular pair of in-ear headphones that you would see on the train. But the difference being, there's a cable that go from those earbuds all the way to a device. Not so with the Backbeat Go 2. It's ideal. Not having that cable means it's ideal for on-the-go use, even for exercising. How many people have been to the gym or running and a cable gets in the way? You might have ripped it out of your ear accidentally or been in the gym and it got caught on something. The Backbeat Go 2 now frees the user from having to actually have the earphones themselves connected to their device, their smartphone or their MP3 player or their tablet. So each earbud is not that big. It's got about 4.5 hours of use, and that's pretty good when you consider there's a pretty small battery, a rechargeable battery in the right ear cup, the earbud. You peel back the little bit of plastic and it reveals a micro USB port, and that's where you can recharge the device. It's also covered with military grade moisture protection, so there's no need to worry if you're training and perspiring all over these earphones. They're not going to get ruined because of all the sweat. Even if you wear them in the rain, you're going to be protected. So that's one good thing to note. On the battery side though, 4.5 hours is your battery use. Not the longest time to use a product like this, and when you run out of battery, these are useless. You need to recharge them. But there is an added extra that if you want to opt for the $129.99 version, it comes with a carry case which has a built-in battery. So what you do is you charge the case, and then when you're out on the go and you need a recharge, you can recharge it with the cord that comes from the case, and that can recharge the Backbeat Go twice. So that can add an extra 10 hours of usage on the go. In my opinion, it's worth the extra $30. If you want to pay just $99.99, you can get the Backbeat Go 2 in-ear headphones on their own. But for that additional $30, you get that case as well, and that can really extend your usage. Setup's pretty easy too. You get a lot of voice prompts, so you press them on, it'll tell you that you've got a connection, it's on. You press and hold it again, it tells you when it's off. It's got an inline remote control, so you can also not only control your music, your volume, your navigation, but you can also use it to answer your phone, end calls, make calls, redial numbers. So it's handy, so you're not going to miss a call either. It also, when you're connected to an iPhone or an iPad, there's a little battery meter so you know exactly how much juice is left in the Backbeat Go. And speaking of the juice on board, It does only have four and a half hours of charge, but if you say you're using an hour here, an hour there, there is a feature called the deep sleep hibernation that can let that charge last up to 6 months. So if you only listen to a couple of hours in a month, it's still going to retain that charge. So when you do pick it up at the end of the month, it's still got that remaining 3 hours of battery charge left on board, which I think is a pretty cool little feature. The Backbeat Go 2 from Plantronics. It is priced at $99.99, that's on their own, or $129.99 with that recharging case. You can read my full review at techguide.com.au. We recently in Berlin, we went to the IFA trade show, which I spoke about on last week's show. And one of the stands we visited is from the TV manufacturer TCL. TCL is short for The Creative Life. And now they're a Chinese manufacturer that's making significant inroads here on the Australian market. And they offer very high quality at a very affordable price. And one of the products that caught my eye on their stand was these small, colourful televisions. And by colourful, I mean the actual colour of the bezels and the stands. There was three different colours available. There's blue, pink, and white. So you can choose to brighten up your household if you wanted to. Good for maybe a kitchen, a child's bedroom, maybe an office, or anywhere else where you want to add a little bit of colour to your decor. These are 26-inch LED high-definition TVs. They've got PVR USB functionality, so you can connect a thumb drive or an external drive for recording. And they've also got a couple of HDMI ports, so it's handy to connect up maybe a PlayStation or an Xbox, Blu-ray disc player, set-top box. And they're available in, blue, pink, and green, not blue, pink, and blue, pink, and white. They're available in blue, pink, and green. They're available exclusively from Harvey Norman. They're priced at $399. And as I said, I had a look at these on the stand. They're very attractive looking little TVs. Add that little bit of color. Pretty thin bezels, but the frame, the color around the frame is also matched in the stand. The stand is basically white, and there are highlights around the bottom of the stand that matches the bezel around the screen. So if you're looking for a second TV or something to brighten up the house, check out the TCL Color Line televisions, and you can read more about that and even see pictures at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
We were lucky enough to have a chat with Netgear's CEO, Patrick Lowe. He was in Australia. We decided it was a great opportunity to ask him about where Wi-Fi is going. We obviously know there's 802.11ac and our use of Wi-Fi products is increasing. We're becoming an even more mobile society. We're smartphone and tablet savvy, and we're using this on the go. And in terms of our internet connectivity here in Australia, the NBN was a topic that I wanted to hear Patrick Lowe's opinion about, and where, what sort of side of the political fence he would sit on providing Australians with a faster broadband network. He had some interesting insights to say, and here's what he had to say when we caught up to him earlier.
Patrick, great to see you again. Welcome back to Australia.
Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Well, lots happening in the wireless space and in your world, and the first thing I'd like to kick off with is 802.11ac. Now, the message is starting to get out there. This is the faster way to connect with Wi-Fi, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. In 11ac, most of the products out there start at a minimum speed of 900 megabits, and theoretically, the technology will enable us to get to 7 gigabit. So absolutely, this is the technology that is going to last for, you know, a good number of years to enhance the experience of a smart home.
And it doesn't hurt the fact that the Galaxy S4 and the HTC One and the MacBook Air, the latest MacBook Air, and quite possibly the latest iPhone, which is going to be released who knows when, may have the AC on board also. That doesn't hurt either, does it?
Absolutely. I mean, the beauty of 11AC, not only that it would deliver faster speed at a longer range, it consumes less power. And so for mobile devices in particular, when you need to preserve battery, you would like to hop onto AC platform.
Absolutely, and also the range too is another thing.
Yes.
We'll talk about range extenders in a moment, but
right.
the range of AC is also greater. So in those corners of your house where you have your devices, it's an express train as well.
Yeah, especially because for 11AC, beamforming is built into the technology. And of course, when we introduced beamforming, we enhanced it to a greater degree. So our beamforming is called Beamforming Plus, which really extends the range even further.
Now, the message to consumers, though, it's still like people like myself obviously have been writing a lot of stories about it. Is the message getting through at the consumer level? Are you finding that the take-up of AC products are increasing?
Oh, absolutely. In the U.S. today, the market is close to 30% 11AC. And we expect by Christmas, which is not that far away, it will approach 50%.
Fantastic. Now, AC, obviously, that extra speed also can then enable extra features and extra abilities for our wireless network, namely sort of in the smart home area. So there are a lot of Netgear products now that are really helping enhance that experience in the home and making it a smart home.
Yes, definitely, because, the secret about Wi-Fi speed is shared. All right, so when you have a full speed of 1.7 megabit, it's shared by multiple devices. Now, you know, I read when I got here that the average number of connected devices in Australia is estimated to be about 8-10 in the house.
It's more than that at my place, mate.
Right, right. Definitely. So, but it's predicted to go to 25 in a few years. So when you have to share that bandwidth with so many devices, absolutely, you need 11AC, especially more and more of the devices are very, you know, multimedia, you know, either audio or video or control. So clearly 11AC will enhance the entire smart home experience tremendously.
And you've got a range of products. I think the View Zone is another
yes,
one.
Yes.
The camera technology, that's become a real mover in the market. A lot of cameras are available now for remote surveillance and things like that. Tell us about the ViewZone.
Yes, so we acquired the ViewZone technology about a year ago, and initially we are positioning it as what we call a lifestyle monitoring, and we're seeing quite a bit of pickup, you know, because it's coupled with a personal cloud, so that the cloud follows you, then you can use your mobile devices to monitor the camera, use the camera to monitor. So we find a lot of users now in the United States where we rolled out first to use the ViewZone camera, for example, to monitor their pets, you know, to monitor the kids, see whether they're coming home on time, doing homework, as well as to monitor the peripherals of the house. For example, in the U.S., I think in Australia too, a lot of the courier service deliver the goods and just drop it off, you know, at the doorsteps. So you would like to be alerted that somebody just dropped off a package in your house. And then every now and then, well, is that package still there before I come home? So those are what we call the lifestyle monitoring is picking up very well. Okay. And then, of course, we supply a different set of cameras to professional security monitoring services in the U.S., that they actually do real serious security monitoring of the periphery of the house for their subscribers as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the technology front, we're always striving to do better. It's always striving to do something faster. What's the next step in your world? What could be improved that you're working on that we're thinking, well, how much better can it possibly be?
We only know that we can make it better. We do not see, you know, there is an end to it. So we will continue to push the envelope. So we just talked about this monitoring camera. But we're also seeing other products coming onto the market now for the smart home.
Yeah.
The most popular one today in the United States other than camera is thermostats.
Okay.
So you get multiple thermostats on the market today that you could use your mobile phones to program it, to control it. And, you know, most of the users who use these smart home thermostats attest that they actually reduce the energy consumption of the house. Because, frankly, before this technology comes through, trying to program a thermostat sometimes requires quite a bit of training.
It does.
And people don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to learn this programming, then you have to manually change the temperature before you go to bed or before you get out of the house. It's just a chore.
Sure.
But today, with a smartphone app, which is very graphical and step-by-step, take you through, I mean, it's pretty easy for people to program it.
Absolutely.
So that's another class of products that's becoming, you know, very popular for the smart home.
What about, there's a lot of debate at the moment about our NBN, our supposed fast network. I know there's a lot of argument with the fibre optic, and you know, it depends on what side of politics you're on. But how do you think in your... You're a man of the world, you've sort of been to a few countries. How does Australia compare to the rest of the world in terms of the quality of our broadband, do you think?
Yes, I think Australia is always at the forefront of pushing the envelope. I mean, for example, I think, you know, my personal view is Australia is actually among the top five in terms of rolling out 4G LTE network.
Yep.
Same thing, I think Australia is among the forefront in providing 100 meg or even 300 meg broadband into the house through the cable infrastructure. So to me, you know, we're a networking company. We have this, what we call the Las Vegas mentality. You build it, and they will come. So you put faster speed into the house, then there will be more applications developed to utilize it. And that's how technology is all about. You know, it happens everywhere. I mean, for example, like phones, right? The phones are getting faster and faster. The screens are getting higher and higher resolution. Mm-hmm. Come on, why do you need that? Don't worry. Once you give them that platform, then a lot of applications will come along with it. So my personal viewpoint is I love it to be faster.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's, as usual, great to talk to you again, Patrick. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Stephen.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, on the Tech Guide Help Desk, we're going to try something a little bit different. Now, you may have heard me talking about an app that I've helped develop with my younger brother, and it's called VoiceByte. Now, this is an app for iPhone at the moment, coming soon to Android, that allows you to record and share 15 seconds of audio to not only within the VoiceByte community, but also on Twitter and Facebook. Anyone who follows me on Twitter, that's at Stephen Fennec, and Stephen with a PH. Anyone who follows me there will see a lot of my tweets with a little play.voicebyte link that allows you to hear me talking about various things. Usually it's about South Sydney games or whatever tech tip of the day I might want to be sharing. But this week I've used VoiceByte to gather some content to hear from our listeners and give them the opportunity to ask their question themselves. So rather than me relaying the question, our readers, our listeners I should say, have come up with the questions themselves, and we're going to play them right now. Here's the first one.
Hey Steve, it's Grant from MediaWise.com.au. We're travelling around shooting web video for small businesses, and a lot of this work takes us into regional areas. And I was just wondering how I could catch up with TV and watch it on my iPad while I'm travelling.
Okay, so that was Grant, and his question was around viewing TV on the go. Now, there's a few ways you can do this. So, first of all, free-to-air TV to watch on the go. It's possible to do this not only within Australia, but anywhere in the world. We've reviewed a product called the Belkin At TV, and at is the at symbol in an email address. And what this is, it's a product that can connect to your set-top box or your Foxtel box or your TV, and then in turn connect to your router so that you can then access that signal anywhere in the world. I use the Belkin At TV to watch the South Sydney Roosters game, the round 26 match in Berlin, through the internet connection I had in the press room at the IFA Convention Center there at in Berlin. So it gives you control of your TV. Even while I was there, I was watching the local news. I was watching all the election coverage. And it works not only if you're on the other side of the world, but also interstate. So that's a great way of catching up with your TV. But another cool product, another app, I should say, a great way of catching up with your pay TV is if you're a Foxtel customer. If you're using the, if you're a Foxtel customer, you've got a set-top box at home, you can use the Foxtel Go app to access live TV, catch-up TV on the move as well. So that might be an option as well for Grant. So he's got free-to-air covered. He's also, if he's a Foxtel customer, he's got his pay TV covered as well. Righto, that's question number one. We've got one more question from VoiceByte, and here it is right here.
Hi, Stephen. I have a question about which app is the best for monitoring your activity. I've heard of Shine, Jawbone UP, or Fitbit. Would be great if you could let me know. Thank you.
Okay, now that is all around the activity monitors, and I think it's not just the app I think that she was alluding to there, it's the actual devices themselves, and she mentioned the Jawbone Up, she mentioned, I think there's others called the Shine, there's also the Fitbit Zip, so there's three choices there. Starting with the Fitbit Zip, there's a couple of those models available, clip to your clothing, link to an app, can let you set challenges, set goals, compete against your friends, monitor your steps, your distance traveled, and all those sorts of things. Calories burned. Jawbone Up is worn like a bracelet. It also comes with a really handy app as well. Connects to iPhone and connects to your to the Android devices as well. And not only does it measure your activities, it can also monitor your sleep as well. So you can put it in a sleep mode. It'll tell you when you how much sleep you've had, deep sleep, light sleep. It can even give you a silent alarm, little vibration. If you want to set the alarm, it can wake you silently. So rather than you disturbing your partner, it will vibrate on your wrist, and it will also drag you from a light sleep. So you wake up refreshed rather than dragging you from a deep sleep and possibly leaving you groggy for half of the day. The other device is the Shine Activity Monitor. All of these devices, by the way, I've reviewed on Tech Guide. The Shine Activity Monitor is about the size of a 20-cent coin. It can be worn either as a watch around your wrist or with a magnetic clasp. It too can measure your activity, whether you're walking, running, swimming. It is waterproof, so you can take it in the pool with you as well. And it can also measure your sleep. It's also a clock, so if you're wearing it on a wristband, double tap and you'll see the 12 points of the clock face appear, and you can then read the time. It'll indicate where the hour hand is and the minute hand is, and you can work out then, like you would on a clock, what the time is. You can also check the progress of your activities for that particular day by simply pressing the front of the device, and it will illuminate. So if you've done nearly 100%, it'll light up nearly all of the lights on the front. If you've done half, it'll light up, say, from 12 to 6 on the clock. So that gives you a rough idea of your progress. So yeah, you can read about all those products, and if you want to submit your VoiceBite question, you can do that by downloading the VoiceBite app. Include hashtag AskStephen in the clip title, and you can hear your voice possibly played out right here on the Tech Guide podcast. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. You can read about everything we've talked about this week at our site, techguide.com.au. And we'd also love to hear from you, so feel free to send us an email at info@techguide.com.au. And you can send us your help desk questions as well to the Tech Guide forum. You can also, as you heard, send your VoiceBite question, your own voice, using our VoiceBite app, and we may play it right here on the Tech Guide podcast. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. We've enjoyed having your company. We look forward to catching up with you next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.